So thank you very much, and we'll go to the next item.
Yes, we will defer. One question from Lemlem.
Hello, 1 minute.
While I queue up this video and get ready for it.
I'm just worried if we take a break.
This is a question for Armando. Armando, how do you guys raise $950,000 or $1 million in 12 days? What? Because that's like the daily goal is over $65,000 for that. How do you guys achieve those daily goals?
We're down from 85 a day.
Right, right. At one point, we were raising an average of $85,000 a day.
I want to know techniques.
Techniques.
They go into liquor stores with guns.
Hollywood. Have you heard of...
Don't trip.
Have you heard about the planes that went into the world...
George Bush remote controlled them into 9 to September.
Hey, weather. I can answer if you guys give me a break here. I think one of the primary strategies, you guys, for us has been... It's a two-prong approach. The premium is clear, three-prong. The staff, you know, encourage them, support them, let them loose, let them do what they're there for, let them do their job, and just make sure that we supplement and support when need be. Two, the premiums. I've said this before. I feel that we're a multimedia gig, and we utilize the moving image, the documentary, the film as the driving force behind our premiums.
30 more seconds.
And A-Dog. And three, archive premiums are like fundamental mota. And but the third one, which I think has worked with us, and I was just dealing with this issue earlier, is that we developed a preemption policy. First of all, we preempt folks. And you know what? It's a delicate issue, but I think, you know, we do it a lot, I would say, comparatively to our other sister stations. And right now we have an ongoing policy, folks, where we say, look, we got 2 weeks. You're on one. We're on one. We, meaning the station and, you know, these bright folks, the producers, and so forth. And this fund drive, we actually sent out the email. We send it out at least a month in advance so that people can try and manage their premiums. And this fund drive, because the last drive we had to go 4 days over, we said to folks, this time we're going to keep to our policy, but we're going to cut back the assessment. So this time, after 4 days, if we see that we're going down, we're going to borrow your hour. You'll be back, but we're going to borrow your hour with our top pitchers. And yes, we do rebroadcast.
Folks, we're going to have to cut this off because I just learned we only have a half hour before we have to clear the room.
Okay, last thing, you guys. Who has the beer tickets?
Lemlem.
Okay.
Bernard, quickly.
Quickly, I was just informed by the public affairs director that we do have a record that when she holds those records of folks that come in.
Great.
And okay,
thank
the
you
other
very
thing
much.
Is that after the presentation, I'm still in the same position I was in. I still am locked into not moving on this grid. So you know, I do need to have some resolution to this issue.
No. The issue's been noted. Now is not the time. We're done with that time, and we're moving.
Yes.
We're going to the archives. And while Brian sets up, I do also want to say, Lemlem, I think the other issue is the station is out in the community an awful lot and has a high profile in the community, and I believe that has a lot to do with it. Okay. Can you hear this? Are you getting the sound?
Oh, yeah. Okay, Lisa. Yes, I'll get you something.
So we need to use my speaker? Okay, so I'm going to take it off mine, and I'm going to use my speaker and put it in the mic. Go ahead, Brian, while I get this set up.
Okay.
Guys, this is our last thing of the day, and Brian has in the past been the last on our agenda, and I know that whoever's last on the agenda often feels shortchanged because people are frazzled and they don't get the full attention. So if we could hold it together for another half an hour, I'll try not to act a fool if y'all will, and we'll just let Brian go.
Well, okay, let's pick it up a little bit. There is going to be a video clip that I'm going to be sharing. You are the first audience of the public that will be hearing it. As I've reported in the past, one of the special central parts of our Archives Fund Drive Day is a special on Pete Seeger. We were lucky enough and fortunate enough at Pacifica over the past 45 years to have Mr. Seeger as part of... Excuse me. Thank you. We've been fortunate enough at Pacifica to have Mr. Pete Seeger be part of Pacifica's history for over 45 years. This year, the Pacifica Radio Archives is not paying tribute to Pete Seeger. He does not want and does not welcome tribute. But we are paying homage to his participation in Pacifica's history. And the clip that... Ready yet?
Not quite.
Oh, the timing is always great. I guess let me take a moment to thank the Pacifica Radio Archives staff, who are seven dedicated individuals, including a number of volunteers that help us in preserving materials, identifying materials for the From the Vault series, and putting together all kinds of materials for the public to listen to.
Sorry, I'm having a little trouble with getting this thing over to...
I think this morning, during the budget process, there seemed to be a watershed moment for me personally. I really didn't know what I was going to report to this board at this meeting until earlier today, because I was so frustrated with the energies of the Pacifica network that were put into the archives outside of the seven people inside the building. From this morning, I'm encouraged that the board now understands that it is our obligation and our duty to preserve and make accessible the materials from the Pacifica Radio Archives. I'm encouraged that our members, directors, Rip Robbins, the affiliate director, and Mr. A.C. Bird, are putting together a proposal for tomorrow to help enhance the resources. And Dr. Bethune, to enhance the resources for the emergency that is transferring the tapes. Thank you very much. Yeah, that is worth a little applause.
You guys haven't seen it yet, so.
Right. Fun Drive, November 28th and 29th. It's a two-day fun drive this year. Again, Pete Seeger will be central. We also have been in contact with Studs Terkel, who has given us copies of most of his interviews that were relevant from the 1960s and 70s that we'll be doing a two-hour special on Studs Terkel, including interviews with Mahalia Jackson, Dr. Martin Luther King after his deathbed visit to Mahalia Jackson, Muhammad Ali, Isaac Singer, and many more. So the fund drive this year, which has a goal of $200,000 for 2 days to enhance the archives resources, will show content of historic value that is of value to the listeners of Pacifica stations to understand the context of what they are donating to today in contemporary times. To hear the voices of Dr. King, Mahalia Jackson, and the many names that we'll be presenting on the Archives Fund Drive Day can only enhance the ability of the stations to fund drive on the local level. You ready yet?
Are we? I had to reboot it so it would recognize it. It's recognizing it. I'll be ready as soon as it reboots.
I think from this morning when I was talking about the watershed moment, and I think the foundation, at least the board of directors at this time, understand that more that... In the words of Arthur Miller, attention must be paid. Right. I look forward to some changes in the network. I look forward to Pacifica.org raising the awareness of the archives from the second to the lowest level listing in the vertical grid of the Pacifica.org to raise it above that. I think Matthew Lazar's essay on Pacifica in wartime is the only thing that's lower than the archives on that list, except for the notice of last year's fund drive, which is somewhere in the center. I look forward to the PacificaNetwork.org adding myself as a staff member of the Pacifica National Office. I look forward to Pacifica... What is the website? pacifica.org. I also look forward to the archives to be represented on the Pacifica affiliate website. That's not just a link to our site, but actually a description of our services to the affiliates, which includes the From the Vault series. Now, yet?
It's Windows, man.
All right.
Why don't we use
RIPs?
You can.
In reducing our goal of 280...
Geben Sie mir Sachen. No, it, look,
well, I guarantee it'll wake us up by the time we use the...
My computer's as flaky as I am right now.
You know, we...
It says the room.
That was... That was done.
I thought maybe that was our 5-minute warning.
It's getting there.
Before showtime.
This is rather cryptic report, isn't it?
It's kind of, it's well suited to the hour. It's like
different, right? So recently we went to the archive staff and the people that are working on the archives like fund drive day. We had an original goal of $280,000, which everybody involved thought was completely unrealistic from our goal from last year when we made 140 in one day. You can't double it just by doubling the day, but every fundraiser will tell you that just won't work. So we did go back to Greg and to Lonnie and to Phil Osegueda, who's really helping us a great deal in helping to get this together. And so we lowered the goal from $280,000 to $200,000 with the proviso that the $80,000 will be made up by community events and more off-air fundraising. We've already, in that time, this is just a few weeks, we were able to secure Amy Goodman to do a fundraiser December 15th for the Pacifica Radio Archives in Los Angeles. And we've secured two major donor parties, one in February for Black History Month, focusing on the African American collection, and one in March for Women's History Month, focusing on the women's history recordings to be preserved. We're not going to get this clip, are we?
No, we are. It's we're real fantastic. Close.
I guess I can take some questions while he's
struggling with technology.
Struggling with the technology.
But it is kind of like late night freeform radio, I think. It's kind of appropriate.
So what are you guys thinking? Actually, you know, I want to hear from you. We didn't see in Mr. Guma's report mention of the From the Vault series. In his presentation, he recognized and acknowledged it. However, I do look forward to some more support of that series. If not, it's all right. We can cancel the series. But there will be some, you know, there is a cost to that. There's a consequence. Less preservation, less education, you know, less collaboration with the people that we need permissions from to use those materials.
I would like to say something.
All right.
You were soliciting from the Archives Committee items to be auctioned during the Archives fundraiser, which is November
28, 29.
So if you have an autographed something or a piece of art or a weekend at your summer home in Vermont.
Sure, all those summer homes.
Please contact Brian because we are looking for items. You know, you might have, you know, somebody's shoes or some memorabilia that would be worth some money for and you know for something to go on an auction to go on during the archives event, and that is a good way to raise a lot of money.
Right, we are looking to enhance the web presence. Almost there.
Or maybe you know a celebrity that would like to donate something. You all know. I mean, just please.
Yeah, so we are trying to do a silent auction on the website for the fund drive.
So
there we go.
Everybody should
there.
Network and find. I mean, maybe we could have a signed, an autographed Pete Seeger or something. So.
Here we go, folks.
Better be good.
I urge Pacifica to teach other parts of America how to run a citywide station. Now, admittedly, in Berkeley, you've got an unusual city. But the troubles that Pacifica has had is when it became very successful and very big. And I think it would be better to have hundreds of little Pacificas around the country.
It's not done yet. Don't just hang on, just one more minute. That's right, it's not held up. Not yet. Hang on.
And if we learn from King, there just might be a human race here in 100 years. I'm not as optimistic as most people think. I think we have a 50-50 chance. God only knows what the future is going to be. But my guess is... Of course, saying a 50-50 chance implies that any one of us might be the grain of sand which will tip the seesaw in the right direction.
All right, so that's Mr. Pete Seeger from just this past June. I think what I take from those two clips, and we have 5 hours of interview of Mr. Seeger and Tim Robbins, and that is Mr. Seeger's log home that he built in Beacon, New York in 1949. As you can see, the film quality was done by two professional cameramen, one Tim Robbins cameraman. He brought his own cameraman with him. And we got a man who did the documentary with Pete Seeger on Clearwater in the 1970s, who donated his camera, his time, his sound man, and everything to give us two cameras of the five-hour interview. It will be a premium on the Archives Fund Drive Day, November 28th and 29th, the video as well as the two-hour documentary. And what we're doing with Mr. Seeger is taking his storytelling abilities to tell the story of Pacifica. We use archival footage. When he mentions Rosa Parks, we play Rosa Parks. When he mentions Malcolm X, we play Malcolm X. When he mentions the environment, we play recordings of the environment. So it's Pacifica and Pete Seeger telling the story of the last half of the 20th century. And I'm really proud of the people that are working on the script, working on the audio, working on the video to show Pacifica what it has been and what it can be. He mentions he wishes there was a lot of hundreds of little Pacificas around there. That is undeniably support for the affiliate program. There's no other way to say it. And also that last clip of being the grain of sand that can tip the scale. As a Libra, my birthday's coming up this Thursday, I understand that more than I can say, the tipping of the balance. And I think that us in this room can be the grain of sand, using the archives and using all of our resources and using our stations and using our talents on the air to tip that grain of sand so that we don't have the problem in this country and this world that we do. We really do have the resources to do it. Do you know how easy it was to get to Mr. Pete Seeger to give us 5 hours of his time? Like that. Because he believes in what we have been, and he believes in what we can be. But he does not believe that being the behemoth that Pacifica has become is the way to go. So I encourage, and I am encouraged by the support of the affiliate program. I'm glad they have a budget. They need more money. They need more fundraising abilities. They need to be able to raise funds outside of Pacifica so that the affiliate program can grow. And I'll do everything that I can to use the archives to help enhance that program. And I think, Rip Robbins, if you would take a moment to talk about how your audience is reacting to From the Vault series, I think that that would be productive for the board and for some of the station program directors still here.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for calling on me as a supporter of the archives. I've always, from the time that I was nominated for this board and was on the phone call, I really spoke to the place that Pacifica holds and how when I became station manager, just tried to implement the ideals of Pacifica into my station and try to make my station like a little Pacifica. And we carry a lot of Pacifica programming. The audio port, you know, I don't have audience measurement. I mean, the show hasn't been out very long. But the kind of topics and the variety of topics have garnered a lot of interest. And the people that work at my station that have to spend the time downloading the shows and playing them back, you know, it's interesting when you bring people in and they have to host programs and they start listening to them. I have people that have never heard Democracy Now!, kids, students come in, and after a while, suddenly, they're going, oh, wait, it's time to get the show on. I mean, when they first come, it's just like a job. Okay, I got to push these buttons. soon they're listening, because you know what it's like when you hear these shows for the first time, is that maybe, you know, oh yeah, that's just more news and more news. But sometime you're going to hear something, and it's going to get you. And once that gets you, you're really there from then on, and we've got a new listener. So I think the kind of show that Brian came up with was a genius idea, even though he probably did it all on his own. It wasn't a directive. I don't know if you can call it bottom up. It wasn't top down. It was kind of like, well, he was really struggling to make something out of what he had. So, you know, the process could be called a little arbitrary, but really the product is so wonderful that I don't think anybody can argue with that.
Thank you. I do want to mention that in the written report, and I want the audience to hear this too, that BBC Radio 4 emailed us because they have access to AudioPort and saw the program, and they requested in June for From the Vault series to be included in A World's Ear on BBC Radio. It has also been, thank you, a professor of American history in political science at Rice University has selected the Iran hostage crisis program as part of their syllabus in education. So already, after 23 weeks, we see some direct feedback as an educational resource for the school and right. for the classes. And I'm really proud of the producer and writer and director, Christopher Sprinkle, who's yeah. amazing. We also, in terms of selecting topics, it was from one brainstorm with the entire archive staff that we chose the first 25 episodes, because the staff knows that material. The staff knows what they respond to. They watch and then we actually had volunteers in that brainstorming session too. So we had volunteers that had that, they touched the tape already, so they know that they pointed me to Emma Goldman. They pointed us to the right directions. Bertolt Brecht, Allen Ginsberg, Quentin Crisp, Alan Watts, Dr. Margaret Mead, Pauline Kael, Bertrand Russell, sorry, wrong number, James Baldwin, Hiroshima, the 1982 Lebanon-Israel War, Emma Goldman, Henry Miller, Jim Morrison, right. Jay Krishnamurti, The Satanic Verses, and June Jordan.
Want to get to the questions from the board members. So is that all right? Are you about done with the presentation
yeah.
part of it? Okay. Nathan, Alan, Evelyn. Actually, I want to ask one quick question. When you put it on BBC Radio, BBC Radio makes, as I understand, BBC is making all of the stuff it airs available.
We actually
how
haven't
do the
made,
rights things go?
We haven't actually really talked to make that deal to ask questions, but okay. their series called In a World Ear is they did request copies for review.
Okay. Nathan. And then Alan, Evelyn, and Rob.
I also from an affiliate station want to say hey, it's a really cool program. We don't have it in our schedule on a regular basis, but I use it on a drop basis whenever I get a chance. And we've run several now, and they've all been very good. So thanks for a very high production value program. They're a very quality program. So the first 25 topics came out right away. There, what's next? You're at week 23.
Actually, there's a program that some of the volunteers had to come on the program. They wanted because the subject matters have been so heavy. And the American Soldier and the Satanic Verses, the Banned Books program, they came up with wanting to find out from our archive what do we have on love. So what we decided to do is do the database search, and we came up with some unbelievable, unexpected programs that will have clips from all kinds of people talking about the nature of love. And I think that's what we're all so much excited about. One is because we have, I think, 50 programs that we have to digitize and then listen to find where they talk about love and what clip to use. But I think that alters our relationship with the archive. You know, there's sort of this preconceived notion that what we go for is the anger, the thing that's dissident, the dissenting voices and the people that have struggled and pushed the envelope. But what we haven't done is look at those brighter sides, those moments when desperate people and desperate listeners came to Pacifica for the lighter side, whether it be for comedy, whether it be for radio drama, whether it be for music, it really is all there. And we really are uncovering things that we didn't intend to uncover, which I'm excited about. One more thing. So with this kind of reaction, I do look forward also for a national office to help promote the program, to make sure that it's on Pacifica.org, to make sure that it's on the Pacifica Network, and to be sure that we have some level of promotions so that we can promote it through the network and outside of the network.
I'm going to actually, I work in the same building as Brian, and I actually want to add to some of the response to the show. And actually, I want to, this is sort of a sharp point, but this is the damn truth about our little building at 3729 Cahuenga. The people who do exceptional audio in our building work at the archives. The two people who work in our production office are second rate compared to Christopher Sprinkle and Mark Torres. And I want to commend Brian, and that's the reality. The Pacifica Radio Archives is a place where the staff is very happy and very committed to the quality of their work. KPFK has been a place of constant contestation, a sense that management and staff hasn't been on the same page. And Christopher Sprinkle is an exile from KPFK. And I think that the contestation that exists in Pacifica, it's a product of the society we live in, spills over into things. But, you know, just the focus on the product and the commitment to the product exists upstairs at 3729 Cahuenga. And unease is the rule of the day downstairs.
Thank you.
Evelyn.
Just to give you sort of a heads up, in July, I was in Washington, D.C., at the Mary McLeod Bethune Council House. And the archivist there, we were talking about a project we're working on. And the archivist, the first thing he said was, we can probably get that information at the Pacifica Archives, not knowing that I'm on the board or anything. Wow. And I just thought, wonderful, because of the fact that, and he's putting budget money together before he makes his request, because what he's looking for is, This Is Your Life. And my grandmother was one of the first African Americans to be on This Is Your Life on radio and then on the television version. And he's really pretty sure that Pacifica would have that. And so I told him to call you, so you'll probably get a, a phone call from him. But they have money, so don't give it to them.
All right.
Okay. Rob.
I'd like to thank Alan for making the statements he made, because really sound quality and production quality are increasingly rare in the network, and we need to keep those standards before us. What I wanted to touch on is the issue of mission. I really don't believe that we don't understand what the Pacifica mission is. The overarching purpose of the Pacifica Foundation is education, and if you took the archives away from what we're doing at the local stations or nationally, there really would be no education. So I think that one of the things all of us should be concerned about is that the education engine that we have is the archives, also because Pacifica in the second half of the 20th century was in such large part responsible for facilitating many of the social movements that made that history. So I would like to suggest that one of the areas where we really can support the archives is by exploring grants that will enable the archives to digitize, collect, organize their work, and get more of this work into the hands of the educators that can help us get it back to the network. So my point is simply that education is something the archives have always done. It's something that we don't do a good job of at our stations, and we're really not concerned to, but we need to if we're going to get into the schools and into the heads of young people and the hearts of young people. And I think the way for us to pursue this with Brian and other members of the staff, like Lem Lem, who's running out, is to pursue grants as it relates to the archives. Thank you very much.
I have a couple of questions.
One of my questions relates to the stuff you've said about archiving and the solid thing, and something I talked about, I mean, having a solid thing in your hand that you know you have as opposed to ephemera. And the thing I brought up earlier today about partnerships, and you know, I've heard you mention a couple times obliquely the Internet Archive and Brewster Kahle, and so people know Brewster Kahle. I don't know whether he's a hundred millionaire or a billionaire or something, but he's one of these extremely rich people, and he's made a commitment to essentially archive everything that he can lay his hands on. He's archived the entire World Wide Web since its inception. So you know how things disappear from the web? You can go back to a given day in history and find it. And you can find, by searching by keyword, any Pacifica, any Democracy Now! Program since it was conceived. And what I want to sort of figure out is, you know, here's a resource that, that basically has committed to all the IT infrastructure and technical infrastructure and in a really deep way and is hugely funded. And I'm wondering whether partnership with an organization like that would allow the archive to focus on, you know, certain like physical quality archive stuff that, I mean, you have, Edwards Tiekert made the point earlier that we have to decide what we're going to focus on because we can't do everything. And I think we can really leverage partnerships. So I'm wondering your thoughts on partnering with organizations that would take on the digital long-term archiving of it. I don't know if you feel that there's a long-term commitment there. But, and also other things. My dream is to have a large portion of archive content available to a large group of potential producers with rights such that whatever they produce from it becomes part of the archive as well. And what I'm wondering is your feelings about partnerships with organizations that can do, you know, a quantum leap beyond what we could think of doing.
I'm for collaboration and working with organizations, but not at a disconnect. I mean, I've talked with, I mean, this goes back to Dan Coughlin days when we've talked about Internet Archive wanting the archive's content. That's sort of where it stopped. It was a desire for the archive's content, but no sense that the archives was going to get anything back. There was no money mentioned. There was no, we'll give you anything but our services. In other words, it was sort of just a one-sided relationship that I didn't like distance. I welcomed meetings. I asked for meetings. Yes, bring them to the archive. Let me go to the archive and talk about what we have and what those hurdles that we have to get over are. So I would just say whoever we have that would be willing to help us, is I would never say no to, but only under the auspice that they have to be listeners as well. You know, I'm not selling content to anybody.
But I guess my question is, we keep hearing about the dire circumstances of the archive, and if we could partner with an organization where we could be confident that it was permanently available to all the communities we serve, and we were constantly recognized, because I feel the lingua franca in our sector is frankly the attribution for the civic role we played. And so I feel like if we can't raise $12 million, but we can make it available broadly without sort of relinquishing, and I'm seeing that we have to leave. So maybe this is for another day. But at some point, I hope we can have the philosophical discussion about if we can't afford to give it a good home, essentially. Why not partner with someone who could and do the things that we can do uniquely?
Right. I think we talked at great length on the licensing distribution and what I think can be done with the archive. All I can say at this point is I welcome meetings with anybody who can help the archive. But we have to understand what the archive's hurdles and obstacles are.
Fair enough. Thank you very much.
A little bit.
Yes. 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, executive session here. I'll see you guys all in 10 hours.
What time?
9 a.m. executive session.
Is there a reception downstairs? Yes, there is.
date with a pillow.